19 years old when I got into the Big 12. Just kidding. No, not
even. As much as people tell us it helps them, it's helping that we're getting so much out of it as well. So, yeah.
I love being able to call John O'Neill and talk to him.
Losers have excuses and winners have programs. So I figured that I'd just call it a...
I've heard it said that a referee can make up to 7 decisions per play.
Let's just get right to the news.
And I have never known 10-2-5-A-1 better than I do right now. Thank you.
A genuine love of football that came from my dad. I don't know how close this episode will air to Father's Day, but how about a shout out to all the dads out there?
Hey, Dwayne. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to see you too.
Back again.
Back again.
It's been a couple 3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of striking out from time to time, but
yeah, exactly.
Hey. The best 300 hitters out there strike out from time to time, so.
But we're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
So like always,
yeah.
Thank you so much for the people that download and listen.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah. Commenting.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
The comments are great still. So, so we're back. We should have a good run going on. Some real.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's knock on some wood here.
Oh, that's for Micah. Sorry. I don't have any wood close by.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yes. And so, thanks.
To our patrons.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. So, if you go on to patreon.com and help and contribute it, so that is like above and beyond. So mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah. How's your week been? Pretty good?
Pretty good. I'm having work on the house done.
Yeah.
And so that's going well. Also, you know, just preparing for upcoming clinics and that sort
yep.
of thing.
Yeah.
So how about you?
Same thing. Just working a lot, doing a lot of this, getting ready for
not a lot
Stars and Stripes and all that good stuff. So there is not a minute free at the moment. But you know what? Keeps you young.
Or makes you old, one of the
two. Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out someday. Right? More will be revealed.
Yeah. Well, anywho.
So, there were some emails this week, but we're going to try a different segment today. We'll get to some emails in the future.
Yeah.
So, but keep sending them because we enjoy it. It helps keep us motivated, and it just lets us know that people are engaged with what we are doing, and we are all in this together, as the slogan on the website. So, keep that coming. So, here's a new segment, okay?
Here it is.
We've asked through the Twitter. we've kind of thrown that out there that we want to do a play scenario a week just to do a quick enforcement, walk through it through the, as we have said before, the RD method. So we're going to try that today.
We're going to try that. So what do you have for us?
It's a free kick down.
Free kick down.
A's ball, obviously. Kicking from the 35. We're not relocated for any penalty. No, anyway, so a surprise onside kick.
Ooh.
Dribbles down, grounded, and it is recovered by a member of Team A at the A44.
Okay.
Okay, and prior to the kick, there was an offside foul on A30.
Yes.
Prior to the kick. I already said that twice, but it's okay. So, like the RD method, I'm going to ask you, what is the result of the play?
Result of the play. Team A is in possession at the A44 yard line.
Okay.
Or short of the restraining line.
Okay.
Yep.
What about fouls or violations during the down?
We have a foul and we have a violation.
Oh, double whammy. Okay.
So we have an offside foul and an illegal touching violation.
Okay. Let's talk about enforcement. What are our options for the offside or the illegal touching or both?
So, violations, there is no penalty.
Right, they just get the ball.
That's the nature.
It's a privilege.
But the offside foul, all fouls by the kicking team on a free kick.
Okay.
Can be enforced from the previous spot or from the subsequent dead ball spot where the ball belongs to team B.
Okay, that's an interesting statement. So, with that said, is team A in legal possession at the A44?
Team A is not in legal possession.
So, the term the ball belongs to belongs to team B?
It belongs to team B, right.
Okay, so then we can enforce from there.
We can enforce from there, exactly.
So, that's the tricky portion where it's, we're enforcing from a spot that is a spot of illegal touching, but it's also the dead ball spot, and it belongs to B. So,
yeah, just coincidence.
There just so happens.
Same spot.
Right. Yeah. So we're taking this to the 39.
We're taking it to the 39.
And it's Team B's ball, first and 10.
Correct.
And since we have a foul,
yep,
we're not reverting to the new rule from last year, 40-second play clock. We're going back to administration, 25 seconds on the play clock, right?
That is correct.
Okay, there it is. There Short it is and sweet.
Yep.
Knock it out.
What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about rules.
Yeah.
Related to touching.
Okay.
I wanted to stretch it out just a little bit.
A little suspense going on.
I don't know. Trying some new things every once in a while. So, yes, we're going to have a little rules discussion today.
Sounds good.
You excited about that?
I am.
Okay,
I like
good.
Talking about the rules.
Especially when we get going in a flow, it'll be great.
Yeah. So,
like I said, we're not going to read any emails today, even though there has been some that's come in. We'll get back to those. How can people reach us?
Everything's Rule 11 Officials.
Yep.
And it's at Rule 11 Officials on Twitter, rule11officials.com. Make sure you go there. You can subscribe to the email there. Or you can use the contact form at the bottom of the homepage. And then you can send us an email directly at rule11officials@gmail.com.
Nice. Pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
A lot of folks have figured that out.
Yeah.
Which is very nice. Yeah.
We love it.
Okay, so let's start the show. No. Quote of the week.
Quote of the week. See what happens when we're off for a couple weeks.
Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss.
So this one's a quick quote from John Acuff. He says, "Don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle." All right.
Think about that.
Just think about it.
Let it breathe.
Percolate. Yeah, let it breathe. Okay.
Love it. Thank you. All right, let's start the show.
Let's start.
I can do it. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to talk about touching. Now, there's a lot of areas we can go down, down paths we can go down when we talk about touching, but we're just going to talk about actual touching. We're not going to talk about batting or catching or muffing or, what other things that are related to touching, but we're just going to talk about touching in a couple of instances and some rules around that. So he's going to start us off with.
Specifically touching regarding to.
Touching of a football.
Of a football. Not
touching of another player or whatever.
So. Touching of a football during a scrimmage kick and passing. Those are the two areas we're going to kind of surround ourselves around, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to start us off, and I'm going to talk about the kicking side of it on scrimmage kicks, because we touched on free kicks last year a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to touch on scrimmage kicks this year. I'm going to touch on, and Dwayne's going to jump in when he knows he should, because he's good that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, we always like to start with definitions. Right?
Yes.
So definitions related to touching. Here's a definition. Rule number is 2.11.4. Okay? There's an A and a B. And a C. So A is touching a ball not in player possession denotes any contact with the ball. It may be intentional or unintentional. And it always precedes possession and control, which is a pretty big term right there.
Yeah. A
couple big words.
A lot of good points there.
Okay. And B says intentional touching is deliberate or intended touching.
Intentional touching, yes.
So I think you probably...
It's going to be in part. Right. Yeah, and we'll touch on where that applies.
Yep. And forced touching results when a player's contact with the ball is due to an opponent blocking him or a ball being kicked or batted into him, right?
Yes, illegally.
Illegally kicked.
Yes.
Okay. And when in question, the ball has not been touched on a kick or a forward pass. So there's your philosophy.
There's a philosophy.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay. There's another definition under this, which is blocking a scrimmage kick. Okay?
Yeah.
211.5. Because this is touching of a kick, scrimmage kick.
Mm-hmm.
So blocking the scrimmage kick is touching the kicked ball by an opponent of the kicking team in an attempt to prevent the ball from crossing the neutral zone.
Okay. It's reason, real specific.
Real specific.
Yeah.
Because I'll give you a real quick example. Let's say on a try, the kick is blocked by a defensive lineman in the neutral zone.
Yes.
And then we can go up to 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's blocked there. Okay, so that one we're ignoring.
Yes.
But then it comes down and hits him in the head.
Yes.
Beyond the neutral zone.
Right.
That one we're not ignoring. So that's why this is, it specifically states in the attempt to block, that's a portion we will ignore. And we'll get into some of that in a minute.
Yes.
Okay. So all of the touching rules regarding to scrimmage kicks are 6-3-1, 6-3-2, 6-3-3, 6-3-4, and the big one, 6-3-11. That's always safe for the end because it's got so much stuff to it. Okay.
What you got?
So 6-3-1A, here's a play scenario. Okay. First, 6-3-1A says a scrimmage kick that fails to cross the neutral zone continues in play, and all players may catch or recover the ball behind the neutral zone and advance it. That's the easy one, right? That's the base foundation portion of touching. So example is this A4th and 4 at the A40. A9's punt attempt is blocked at the A32. The shield player recovers a loose ball at the A35 and advances to the A41. Okay, so a couple of the key concepts is the touching of the kick is behind the neutral zone because it was a player right at the shield, wasn't up at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
So the ball fails to cross the neutral zone. Thus, all players are eligible to catch and recover and advance.
And advance.
Okay, so the other portion is the kicking team recovers and advances, which is all legal, but fails to reach the new line of gain.
Okay.
So at this point, we were to the A41. Yeah, so we didn't get a yard. So we're going to turn the ball over on downs because team A failed to reach the line of gain. So touching behind the neutral zone, anybody can touch, advance, recover, all that good stuff. So 6-3-1-B says this. It says the blocking of a scrimmage kick by an opponent of the kicking team who is not more than, we talked about this a second ago, 3 yards beyond the neutral zone is considered to have occurred within or behind that zone.
Okay.
So here's a quick example. Same type of play. A's ball 4th and 4 at the B30. So team A's field goal attempt is blocked by B90 at the B28, which is 2 yards beyond the neutral zone. The ball hits the ground at the B32, which is behind.
Yep.
A12 picks up the loose ball and advances to the B25, where he is tackled.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Key concepts. First one is the kick is touched by the opponent at the B28, which falls us back to the rule that we just talked about. It's deemed not to have been touched, or it is touched in or behind the neutral zone.
Because
the ball was touched by the player B that is preventing the ball from crossing the neutral zone.
Yeah, that's the key. If he was just standing there and the ball hit him in
the face,
then we're not ignoring that one.
Right.
This one is a block attempt. So,
okay. Yeah. Perfectly said. The touching is in an attempt to let's see. I just read my next bullet point right there. Dwayne already knocked that one out of the park. And the third concept is this. So because the ball had not crossed the neutral zone, all players may catch or recover and advance, just like the first example. So,
yep.
And in that example, the player gained a new line to gain, even though it was fourth down.
Yep.
And since the kick didn't cross the neutral zone, by rule, we don't have continuity of downs changing, so we can get a new line to gain. Okay.
First down.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, next one. 6-3-2. This is where we get a little thicker, mutter. 6-3-2A. So no inbounds player of the kicking team shall touch a scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone before it touches an opponent. This is illegal touching, a violation that, when the ball becomes dead, gives the receiving team the privilege of taking the ball at the spot of the violation. Exception is the forced touching. Okay?
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, you know, key components to this rule here. So it's illegal touching if it doesn't touch a Team B player for a scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone.
Right.
So there's the word has crossed, right, which means if it crosses and comes back, that means it's crossed, right, and then the rule applies. There's so many things to break down here. There's the illegal touching part. We talked about that in our play scenario breakdown earlier. That's a violation and not a foul. Just so many things there to talk about. And then it gives the receiving team the privilege of taking the ball at the spot of the violation. So anyway, I just wanted to like slow down and that, cause that one is pretty,
meaty.
Meaty and pretty, gets used a lot in a lot of questions. So
yeah, and on top of that, the portion where you mentioned the kick has crossed. I mean, we should just touch real quickly on what that means by crossing the neutral zone. So it has to touch the ground.
Yeah,
a player
or anything,
or an official, or anything.
Yeah, that's beyond
right.
As opposed. And it's different than passing when I'll talk about that, compare those two. But, yeah, that's what it means by crossing the neutral zone.
Okay, so here's an example of that, okay?
Yep.
A's ball 4th and 4 at the A40. A lot of these are the same yard lines and stuff. Team A punts. The team A punt is touched by A1 at the B14, then ruled dead in possession of A2. At the B8. Okay.
Yep.
Key concept, the kick has crossed the neutral zone.
Yes.
Number one. So we know that. Two is team A player or players has touched the scrimmage kick, which we have two separate touching spots. Okay. And the kick has not touched the opponent, which it hasn't touched team B, because team A was the one that kicked the ball. So it has not touched Team B.
Yeah, no Team B players in this place.
Right. So as stated in 6-3-2, the receiving team is awarded the ball at any spot of illegal touching. In this case, the B14 is better than the B8.
Yeah.
Even though that technically they have options to take it at any spot of illegal touching, whichever one is best for them.
Yep.
Obviously, we're not going to ask them that. We're just going to put the ball at the 14.
Yes.
And here we go. But both are spots of illegal touching of a kick.
So a couple of questions I have for you. One, does it matter that A1 touched the ball or whether the ball touches A1? So A's like blocking or something. I shouldn't say that's not the blocking scenario. A's running down, the ball just hits him in the back of the leg. And he doesn't know about it.
We talked about that in the definitions.
Yeah.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter in this case.
No.
So that was just the definition. I'm just wondering if it matters in this scenario.
In this scenario, no.
No. Okay.
No. And we'll touch on a little bit of that too in a minute.
My next question is, and you also touched on this, but I just want to make it clear.
Yep.
It says, you said that the ball was ruled dead in A2's possession.
Yeah.
Does that mean he touched it?
Well, touching precedes possession.
Okay. I just want to.
So.
Yeah. Just want to use this as an example of why we say touching precedes possession. are.
Touching precedes possession and control.
Yep. So
always remember that. Yep. If you can take one thing away from this, however long this is going to be, is touching precedes control and possession. I'm telling you, that'll come into play on a question or something somewhere down the road, and you'll go,
there
it was.
Yep. So it's in the back of your head. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to the next.
Okay, 632B. This says the privilege is canceled if there is an accepted penalty for a live ball foul by either team or there are offsetting fouls. Okay. That's always a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example, same as the previous dead ball spot, or I should say snap spot, A fourth and fourth, the A40. Team A punt is touched by A1 at the A14, again, then ruled dead in possession of A2, again, at the B8, again. Same play scenario.
Yes.
But during the kick, B50 takes down the snapper, A49, at the 50-yard line, just as after he snaps the ball, comes down the field, and he's taken down. So we have a foul, a PSK foul, on the receiving team. So it says if we have an accepted live ball foul, then a touching violation goes away, right?
Yes.
Okay, so a couple things. We have two spots of illegal touching in this play, just like the previous. We have the 14 and the 8.
Yep.
Okay, so we have a PSK foul, right?
Yep.
We have to know where the end of the kick spot is for our PSK spot, right?
Yes.
Which is the B8.
Yes.
So we're going to accept that, and we'll wipe those two illegal touching spots out because we want to enforce that hold half the distance from the 8 to the 4.
From the end of the kick.
From the end of the kick, because that's where the end of the kick is, even though it's a touching spot.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. It's another case where it just happens to be the touching spot, but it's also where it's also the end of the run. I mean, excuse me, end of the kick, and we can enforce from there.
So correct.
Never enforce from the illegal touching spot. I shouldn't always enforce from the our normal spots and kick
a basic spot.
Spot, yep. Et cetera, spot of the foul.
Foul that type of thing. Yep. So real quick on that one, Key's concepts of that the kick has crossed the neutral zone. That's going to be the one you hear about most. The kick has crossed the neutral zone.
Yep.
A teammate player or players has touched the kick. The kick has not touched an opponent again, but now we have an accepted live ball foul. So that's going to change some things.
Yep.
And the spot of ITK is now canceled and PSK enforcement from the end of the kick.
ITK being?
ITK. And I might start using that from here on out on the talk because...
Just to speed it up.
Speed it up. Illegal touching of a kick is ITK, just like on our foul reports, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, 632D. We're still in 632, okay?
Yep.
This says illegal touching on a try or at extra periods or teammate's end zone is ignored, okay?
Yeah.
So this is kind of an interesting one. I didn't put a lot of thought and effort into this, and I'll tell you why here in a second. Because the try and the extra periods are pretty self-explanatory, right? If we have a try and we have illegal touching, because the next spot or the next snap or the succeeding spot is always the same spot. It's either a free kick or it's a succeeding spot, an extra period.
Yeah.
Right? We can't put the ball in play at the touching spot.
Right.
So those are, self-explanatory.
Yes.
The one that's kind of weird that I really can't come up with an example is... touching in teammate's end zone is ignored.
Yeah. We could put the word out to our listeners if you got an example of that.
Send that our way.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, I was thinking and thinking and thinking, and I couldn't come up with nothing. All right. Now we're coming into something good here. So 633, this is where all become eligible. This is like the kicking team's favorite rule. Because, now they got a shot at it, right? So when a scrimmage kick has crossed the neutral zone, which is touching the ground, a player or an official or anything, touches a player of the receiving team who is in bounds, key word, got to be in bounds.
Yep.
Any player may catch or recover the ball.
Yes.
Catch or recover.
You missed one. What about advancing the ball? You
can't advance it. That's why I left that out.
You can't advance it. Okay.
Oh. Can't, no. Now listen, I'll get to that.
I'm listening.
I'm hold on. I'm jumping ahead. I got to slow down.
Getting excited.
Slow, slow, and slower. Okay, I'll get to this point in a second.
Yep.
Here's the examples. Same thing. A fourth and fourth. The A40.
Yeah.
Team A pawn is touched by B1 at the B14, then ruled dead in possession of A2 at the B8. Okay, same yard lines, but this time B touches it at the 14.
Okay.
Okay. So, key concept, the scrimmage kick has crossed the neutral zone, okay, and it touches B1. And B1's in bounds.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
Doesn't matter.
Yep, doesn't matter.
We'll get to some other examples in a minute, but and he's in bounds. So the recovery by A2 is legal.
Yep.
But remember, he can only recover it. So this is what I want to talk about. This is where we can see that we see this a lot, right? Where we have a touch by the receiving team and a kicking team player picks it up and starts to advance because that's what instinct does.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a time where you got to get poised. Process and games without replay, shut her down. If you've processed it correctly.
Yes.
The reason why I say that, because you want to make sure you process it. We have time because we're going to have hopefully a bag there at the end of the kick, right? So we know that spot. But in games with replay, this is a play that's reviewable. So you could, when in doubt, let it play out because they can come back and look at this of a scrimmage kick that is possessed, if it was a fumble or a muff. That's a reviewable play.
Yes.
So there's that. But games without replay, just slow down, process what you see, and shut her down when you know that, hey, I don't have it's still a kick, right? That old adage?
Exactly. Yep.
But who's in legal possession?
Who is in legal possession at the end of this one is Team A.
Team A, right. So they're going to snap the ball. 6-3-4, forced touching disregarded. So now here comes a little bit of a deeper portion of the intentional and unintentional touching.
Yep.
So I'm going to be kind of brief on this because I think there's only a couple concepts we need to remember here. Same as above, scrimmage kick must cross neutral zone. Just to remind, touching by Team B behind the neutral zone does not award Team B or Team A to become eligible. A player must be blocked / pushed into a scrimmage kick. And note, remember that just two players that are simply engaged with each other does not always mean they're blocked into a football.
So you and I blocking one another and the ball rolls up and hits me in the ankle, that's not necessarily...
Not necessarily. I would say not more times than not, it's not.
Yeah.
I think what we'll see is an overt act that'll really stand out and it'll kind of play it and it'll show itself.
Okay.
The way I see that. So, and if an inbounds player touches the ball that is either batted or illegally kicked by an opponent, let's also remember that batting and kicking are both intentional acts.
They are, yes.
So if A's running down the field and it hits his foot when he's running and it goes into A...
Or B.
Or B, I should say, sorry. He didn't kick it into him.
Correct.
Right? So you got to be really sure of what you see. Because if he, well, obviously we have an ITK spot there, right?
Right.
And then it does touch B. So other things can occur, but we still at least have that ITK spot.
A lot of stuff.
Right.
Go. So, it would, yep.
But it has to be an overt, it has got to be intentional on the kicking and the batting. Same with the blocking and the pushing.
Exactly.
I believe it will make itself clear when you see that. Okay. Now for what I believe is the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
6-3-11, loose ball behind the goal line. This rule is tricky.
Yes.
I have to spend a lot of time in this thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, every year. So if a scrimmage kick is untouched by Team B after crossing the neutral zone, untouched by B.
Yes.
So there it is again. Crossing the neutral zone, that is the king of all key concepts, is batted in Team B's end zone by a player of Team A, it is a violation for illegal touching. The spot of the violation is Team B's 20-yard line. Some like to call it the hanging touchback.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a special case of batting in the end zone, and it's not a foul, because any other batting in the end zone is a foul, right?
What does that look like, a team A batting a punt in team B's end zone?
Okay. You want me to read the example?
You can, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's simple this. We see this all the time. When these gunners are receivers stand on the 10-yard line, like I've said before, he's a good coached player, and his coach tells him, if put your heels on the 10, if that ball's going over your head, you do not go backwards.
Yep.
Get out of there. So the ball hits at the 5.
Yep.
Bounds in the air, okay. And the gunners are closing in to try and down this ball at the 2-yard line.
Yes.
But it's a little bit too far, and it's still in the air over the goal line or over the end zone, and they swat it back out in the field of play, and then it's down at the 5 or something.
Gotcha.
And they're all cheering like, we just killed it, nailed it, right? But.
Yeah. But it crossed the goal
line. When it crosses the goal line, we have 6-3-11 as far as a loose ball behind the goal line that's touched by team A. So we have allele touching in the end zone. So what I like to try and do is simply have a beanbag in the end zone. Let the play happen. Play's dead. Shut the clock down. Give my illegal touching signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I point at my beanbag in the end zone. This is my first means of communication to the crew. Whether my field judge, side judge, they probably should have the same thing anyways, because if we're on the goal line, we should probably all be there together.
Yeah.
And then I verbally tell to the referee this. It's simply because we don't have a touchback, okay?
Yeah.
This is the big thing. We do not have a touchback.
Okay.
Technically, we do not have a touchback, because there's other rules that pertain to that would get us in trouble as far as enforcement goes.
Exactly.
So we got to communicate correctly that I have an illegal touch in the end zone. The ball is dead at the 5, but the spot, we're going to go to the 20. That's the hanging part of it. It's hanging to the 20.
Yep.
Okay, so here's my example. First one's this. It's just same thing, real simple, just like I just said, and we're going to the 20-yard line. We don't have any fouls or nothing. The ball was touching the end zone. It's dead at the 5. We're just going to the 20-yard line and moving on. First and 10 for B at the 20, okay?
What?
Yes.
Yeah. And kind of, I think you said it here. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, continue.
We're good? Okay, so same play. Good. We're going to add layer number 2. Same play, 4th and 4 at the 50. Team B's punt lands at the B5 and bounds towards Team B's end zone. As the ball is over the goal line, A1 bats the ball back into the field of play and is recovered by B4. Is recovered at the B4 by A2. And during the kick, B50 takes down the snapper again at the 30. Okay?
Okay.
So we have an illegal touch in the end zone. Yes. We have a dead ball spot at the B4 by A.
Okay, so it's recovered by A.
And then we have a foul on the receiving team, which is another PSK foul.
Yes.
Okay. So we have PSK enforcement. Now, this is one I want to hammer home right now.
Yes.
Is that any time that we have an illegal touch in the end zone under 6-3-11, and we have a PSK foul, the PSK spot is always going to be the 20. It's never going to go. It says in the rule book that the accepted live ball foul for the PSK cancels the illegal touching.
Yep.
Which it does, but it doesn't move the football, the touching spot. It stays at the 20.
Right.
For PSK.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll enforce as normal. 3-1 principle. The foul was at the 30-yard line. The PSK spot is the 20. We'll go up full 10 to the 10.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Makes sense?
Yep.
You got me?
Yep.
Okay.
Let me see if you... Oh, you have another play.
One more play, real quick, because
I was going to probably take you where you're probably going here, so go ahead and continue.
Okay, layer 3. Same exact play. I don't have to say it again. It's all the same. This time, at the snap, the nose guard the snapper for Team A is flagged for a hands to the face.
Ooh.
Okay? So we have a personal foul on the kicking team. Okay?
Yeah.
But everything else is the same. We have a bat in the end zone.
Yep.
Dead ball spot at the 4.
A recovers it.
And A recovers it there.
Yep.
Same exact thing.
Okay.
Okay. This is where with the fouls on the kicking team is where you really got to slow down. Like I said before, the PSK spot will always stay at the 20.
Yeah.
Even though that the touching goes away.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the true touching goes away on with fouls for A. Okay. So what I'm getting at is simply this. If we have the bat in the end zone, we know our hanging touchback is the 20.
Yes.
So if we enforce, if we accept a live ball foul for team A, that 20 now goes away. We can't take, our hanging touchback is gone.
Yes.
So now we can only enforce from the dead ball spot that belongs to B, which right. is the 4.
And kind of another way to put it, and the way I think you've said this before is, that 20 spot is where we're awarding the ball to team
Correct.
B, right?
Yep.
The ball doesn't belong to them there.
No.
The ball belongs to them at this dead ball spot, the 4, right?
Right. Right.
So,
because we can only enforce
mm-hmm.
from the dead ball spot that belongs to team B or the previous spot with the down repeated.
Right.
So if we accept it, we're going from the dead ball spot that belongs to B, which is the 4.
Yes. Okay.
So obviously, we'd go to the 4 to the 19.
Yep.
So team B would simply decline the hands to the face and take the spot of illegal touching.
Correct.
At the B20.
That's a great one. I mean, this is one that gets tricky. And this is why you're saying it's so important to say that it is a illegal touching
mm-hmm.
in the end zone.
Right.
As opposed to, we got a touchback.
If we had a touchback, then it belongs to B at the 20. It belongs to them there.
And then you would enforce from there,
right? Right?
And so that's vastly too different.
That's why you have to communicate it correctly.
Yes.
That's why I say this rule to me is so important
mm-hmm.
That you have to live in it. I got to live in it because it gets convoluted between the two different fouls. One team fouls
yes.
is completely different than the other one, in a sense. So that's all I got. I don't want to steal any more of your time, man.
No, that's all great stuff. So I'm going to talk about touching during pass plays. And so I kind of broke it down into kind of three separate topics.
Okay.
And so I'll go through those. The first one is behind or beyond the neutral zone, touching, that is. And then some rules related to that. So the first rule is, I'm going to go with the definition. Let me look that up because I want to read it verbatim about when a pass crosses the neutral zone. And that's 219.3
okay.
in your rule book. And that says, a legal forward pass has crossed the neutral zone when it first strikes the ground, a player, an official, or anything beyond the neutral zone. It has not crossed the neutral zone when it first strikes the ground, a player, an official, or anything in or behind the neutral zone. So as opposed to the scrimmage kick rule, mm-hmm. this one says first touches the ground.
Right.
So what basically that's saying is if I am if I'm a running back or even a lineman or whatever, and the passer throws the ball and it hits somebody from the offense behind the line of scrimmage and helmet, and then it bounces beyond the neutral zone. Well, that pass is not considered to have crossed the neutral zone.
Gotcha.
Even though physically it's crossed there, right. but it was first touched behind the neutral zone. So with that rule in, yeah, give you the touching signal.
That's why I think that touching signal is very important for the those umpires, man.
Yep, you see that? Give that touching signal.
Yep.
So, so the first rule kind of related to that is ineligible players downfield,
okay.
IP. And that's 7-3-10. So let me look that up because I'm going to read that real quick. And that says, no originally ineligible receiver shall be or have been more than 3 yards beyond the neutral zone until a passer throws a legal forward pass that crosses the neutral zone.
So
this set of rules will be, should see that verbiage in there. That has crossed the neutral zone. So we just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically the key concept. It's a legal pass that, the legal pass has to cross the neutral zone for this to be a foul.
Right.
So quick example, a third and two at the 840. A9 takes the snap. He's unable to find a receiver. And he's scrambling around, which is typically a lot of times when you'll get IDP.
Okay. Yep.
Lineman, the time
getting antsy.
Off. Yep.
Yep.
So A68 moves 4 yards downfield, thinking A9 is going to run. A9 passes the ball, which gets tipped by a defender at the A39, which is 1 yard behind yep. the neutral zone. The ball is then caught by A88 at the A42, where he steps out of bounds. So the ball gets caught beyond the neutral zone.
Yep. Looks good.
As we just discussed, mm-hmm. it all depends where the ball was first touched.
Yeah.
So that's why you'll hear referees announce the ball was first touched behind the neutral zone or behind the neutral
zone.
There is no foul for
whatever.
Ineligible downfield or it could be OPI.
Yep.
Okay. Next play, a first and 10 at the 840 after the snap. Lyman, A55, A56, move downfield to set up a screen pass. The pass is somewhat delayed,
uh-huh.
and both linemen are 4 yards downfield. They haven't thrown a block yet because I don't want to change the foul.
Yeah, yeah.
When the pass is thrown.
Okay.
A22, first attempts to catch the ball at the A40, which is right at the line of scrimmage. He bobbles it there.
So he does touch it there?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
He's bobbling it there. At the 40 at the line of scrimmage, and then he finally catches it at the A42.
Gotcha, okay.
So this is where communication might have to come into play because umpire or somebody may throw ineligible downfield,
mm-hmm.
and but the line judge knows where the ball was first touched.
Hopefully.
If not, hopefully replay can come in. If you have
right, because this is a reviewable play. Yeah.
Yep. So if there's a flag down and have this communication, no, he first touched it in the neutral zone, not where he caught it, where he first touched it, is what matters. And then we'll pick up that flag. So just want to illustrate that
perfect
point. All right. The next kind of rule regarding the pass crossing the neutral zone is defensive holding.
Ah.
Or the defensive contact fouls.
Okay.
And that's rule 935 and 1022E2. Same thing in two different places. So I'm going to read this rule here. Here it is. So during a legal forward pass play in which the pass crosses the neutral zone, if before the pass is touched, there is a contact foul by team B beyond the neutral zone against an eligible receiver, other than pass interference, the penalty includes an automatic first down.
Yeah, big one.
So all this is to say is if all these elements, all this criteria is met, then we have an automatic first down. Otherwise, we don't.
Right.
And the reason I bring this up for this talk is because touching is part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's before the pass has been touched, a foul occurs, and the pass has to cross the neutral zone, which obviously we talked about involves touching.
Yep.
So.
That's a big one. That's a big one you got to communicate to.
You have to communicate.
If you have a side judge, field judge, back judge that has a defensive hold, and we don't have any, maybe there is a tip and we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a foul that's beyond the neutral zone, and the eligible is beyond the neutral zone. We think automatic first down. So that's a big communication point if there's some touching.
Exactly. So my play scenario, here we go, A3rd and 15 at the A30. A2 throws a pass over the middle. The pass is tipped by B55, who is in the neutral zone. The pass falls incomplete and hits the ground at the A32. So the ball hits the ground beyond the neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
But we know
it
was first touched in the neutral zone.
Yep.
That means it hadn't the pass has not crossed the neutral zone. Prior to the pass, B22 is flagged for a defensive holding on an eligible receiver at the A36.
Okay.
So Whoever threw the flag's going to come in and report that defensive holding. We know that's a 10-yard previous spot foul.
Correct.
But the question here is did all those criteria get met?
Was the ball beyond?
It was the ball beyond. In this case, no.
Right.
Because it was tipped in the neutral zone. And assuming all the other criteria, well, in this case, we don't care about the other criteria because it's not going to be an automatic first down.
And I know you've touched it, but I want to just make sure. Within this application of of this, like, defensive holding fouls, it doesn't matter who it touches, right?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. The rule, that's a great point.
There's some other rules where it, and maybe you'll get to that.
No, that's a great point. The rule just says if before the pass is touched, in which the pass crosses the neutral zone. So the pass crossing the neutral zone, when I read that part, it doesn't matter who touches it, whether it was intentional or not. It just has to touch somebody, something, or the ground before it crosses the neutral zone or after it crosses the neutral zone. Right. So that's the determination there. It's a great point there.
Because there's some other ones that I think you'll get to.
Yep. That it has to touch.
It's got to be only.
Or an official.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So, and let's see. Where did I end up? Okay, same play, but the pass was tipped at the A31.
Okay. So one yard
beyond.
Okay.
Guy catches it beyond also.
Mm-hmm.
So that pass went beyond the neutral zone. We're going to have an absolutely first down.
So the first one we got, we're going to replay the down third and five.
Replay the down third and five.
And then your second option, we're going to have an automatic first down.
We're going to have automatic first down.
Okay, we're going to actually move the sticks back 5 yards.
Move.
Wow. Because we had third and 15.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to go for previous spot 10.
Yeah.
With an automatic.
Yes.
We're going to go.
Okay. Yeah, you're confusing me.
But. Sorry.
All right. But yes. So the difference is the automatic first down.
Yes.
We have to communicate that.
Very much so.
Communicate that. Okay. So the next set of rules around DPI and OPI. And so the rules are related to that of 738, 739H, and 739I. And so let me turn to the book here and read those verbatim, at least the part that makes sense. So 738, during a down in which a legal forward pass crosses the neutral zone, again, there's that verbiage, illegal contact by Team A and Team B players is prohibited from the time the ball is snapped until it is touched, by any player or an official.
Okay.
739H and I, they say pass interference rules do not apply after the pass has been touched anywhere inbounds by an inbounds player or has touched an official. Doesn't say B or A or anything like that. So.
And it says it's touched anywhere.
Right.
Yep.
If any opponent is fouled, the penalty is for the foul and not pass interference.
Got it.
I says after the pass has been touched, any player may execute a legal block during the remaining flight of the pass.
Legal block.
A legal block, yes.
So real quick.
Yes.
So we're in the point where he's on the previous where he says if an opponent is fouled, the penalty is for the foul and not pass interference. So that's a great point where we see all the time where we have a DH that converts to a DPI because of the timing.
Yes.
The prolonged action. We have DPI, but then we come in with more information.
Yes.
That the ball was touched prior.
Yes.
You know, so now we can go back to the defensive hold.
Yeah, we can have the reverse, right?
Right.
Maybe somebody throws a DPI because a guy tackled them before the ball arrived, right? Uh-huh. Well, if the pass was tipped, then
you'd have to hold.
DPI is off, right?
Right.
But you can still have the hold.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. Same thing behind a line of scrimmage, too, right?
Yes.
Let's go with a couple of examples real quick. A third and 10, B 40, A 5 throws a pass to A 88. B 44 or A 44, doesn't matter, is crossing 5 yards, you know, closer to the nine, you know, in front of the receiver, and they tip the ball. So okay. It doesn't matter who tips the ball, A or B.
Yep.
As the ball continues to A88, B2 plays through the back of A88 and intercepts the pass. So if we had a flag down for DPI, this is another communication thing.
Yep.
Somebody needs to come in and say, no, that pass was tipped, and then DPI will be off.
Or replay. If you're in a game of replay, that could...
Yes, yep. Replay can come in and also
uh-huh.
for touching.
Yep.
All right.
Another
OPI,
one? OPI.
Example. Similar to one of the earlier plays. So A, first and 10 at the A40. After the snap, linemen A55 and A56 move downfield to set up a screen pass. The pass is somewhat delayed, and both linemen are 4 yards downfield blocking when the pass is thrown. So, potential OPI here.
Uh-huh.
A22 first attempts to catch the ball at the B4 A40, which is the line of scrimmage like he did before, and he bobbles it, and then finally catches it at the A42.
Okay.
So, we had this example before. Yep. It was first touch in the neutral zone. That means that blocking downfield is okay. And so
because the forward pass did not cross the neutral zone.
Correct. That is correct. And so again, flag, if a flag was down, we want communication that somebody needs to come in. One of the line of scrimmage folks need to come in, or replay is going to come in after the fact and say this was touch.
And I can specifically remember a good 3 or 4 plays just like this that where there was a tip by the receiver or just touch because it was just too high.
Yeah.
And then he caught it 2 yards further.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 3 or 4 exactly like this where replay would come in and confirm that it was touched.
Yes.
You know, at the line of scrimmage. So no other fouls were, you know, I think that they had some fouls on those situations that were taken off because of that. So that's a great example because you do see that those tight screens tend to get overthrown.
Yeah.
Sometimes that receiver has to just tip it back to himself. And sometimes that usually happens right around the neutral zone. So you got to be cognizant.
Yeah, good points. So that was DPI, OPI.
Uh-huh.
Next kind of grouping of touching related rules around pass eligibility.
Oh, here we go.
And so this is, it's around eligibility being gained or regained. So let's see. And kind of the key concepts in this case is team B or an official touches a legal forward pass and all players become eligible.
So
let me read the rule here.
Yep. And that's where, before when I asked you, all players could touch, right? Now we're on the other end of it.
Yes,
okay. Exactly.
And I'm going to read the eligibility rule. This is 733.
Okay.
Excuse me. I want to go with eligibility gained or regained. So this is pass eligibility, by the way. When a team B player or an official touches a legal forward pass, all players become eligible. So exactly what you said.
Yep.
So talk about which players are ineligible to begin with, right? Or how people become ineligible to catch a pass. So there's two ways. One is you're ineligible at the beginning of the play by
position,
position.
Okay.
That's rule 7-3-11.
Yep.
And then you can also, if you can start off with eligibility and lose eligibility.
How you do that?
By going out of bounds on your own.
On your own.
Without blocking.
Without contact. So,
yes. And that could be, you could accidentally step out of bounds, whatever. But once you step out of bounds, you lose your eligibility if you come back in.
Yep.
So let's talk about a couple of things related to that. I'm just illustrate with some plays here.
Yep.
A third and 12 at the A30. A12 takes the snap and is under immediate pressure. He tosses a high pass to running back A45, who muffs the ball into the air. The ball hits guard A55 in the back and falls to the ground. Okay? So this, I just wanted to illustrate in this case that we have an eligible receiver. We have an ineligible player who gets hit in the back by the ball.
Yep.
And there's no foul there because he's not attempting to catch the ball.
Unintentional.
Unintentional. And so I should probably let me read that rule on illegal touching real quick.
It's just, just like batting or kicking.
So illegal touching 7-3-11. No original ineligible player while inbounds may intentionally touch illegal for a pass until it has touched an opponent or an official. Right. So,
yep.
All right. Same play, but A55 turns around and tries to catch the ball, muffs it, and it falls to the ground. So it was muffed by his teammate. So that he's still ineligible.
Sorry.
He doesn't regain eligibility. He doesn't gain eligibility
right.
by a teammate touching the ball. So he has fouled by attempting to catch that ball. It's a 5-yard previous spot penalty. And so
this is the one that can get tricky.
It's tricky,
because you could see this a lot with tipped balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the ball's in the air and, you know, a lineman sees it up there. Hey, I'm going to get that thing out of the air.
Yes.
If it hasn't touched an opponent or an official.
Yeah. Who tipped it?
Right. You got to know who tipped it.
So a lot of,
So I don't know how, I haven't really come up with a good solution. I mean, maybe because I think I just know it now from doing it so many times, but the different rules from which one can touch all and become eligible or what opens and which one is only B and the official. So it's eligibility. But that's the one that I got to kind of keep coming back to because it's I can go back and forth and confuse myself. But,
yep.
So
next one is pretty much same play, 3rd and 12 at the 8:30. A2 throws a pass over the middle, which hits the umpire in the shoulder at the 8:38 and bounces into the air. A56, who is moving downfield to block, catches the ball and rumbles to the A45, where he is tackled.
Nice.
So we just talked about when it comes to eligibility, if it hits a defender or, excuse me, an opponent or an official, then all players can, all players become eligible.
Right.
Okay. So that's legal.
All legal. Round.
Good job, big fella. A 1st and 10 at the 8:40. At the snap, A88 is running a wheel route near the sideline when he accidentally steps out of bounds. Uh-oh. We talked about losing eligibility when you do that.
Yep.
He wasn't blocked out of bounds. He returns in bounds at the 50. He's now ineligible, catches a pass, and then he's tackled at the B48. So no one's touched it. He caught it. It's ineligible. He's ineligible. We have a foul for illegal touching by an originally eligible receiver. So the penalty is different. It's basically, I just think of it as like an incomplete pass.
Right. Lost it down, previous spot. Down.
Yep. Same play. The A88 is running that wheel route near the sideline. He accidentally steps on out of bounds. He returns inbounds. His teammate A2, who's in front of him, tips the ball in an attempt to catch it. Okay. A88 catches it behind him at the 50 and is tackled at the B48. Same result because A88 became ineligible. He has not regained his eligibility because it was a teammate, not an opponent or an official that touched the ball, first touched the ball.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so
and stepping out of bounds, that doesn't have to be intentional, right?
No,
I want to make sure I understand.
That's why I specifically put accidentally just to make that point that if you're just running a pattern, you step out of bounds on your own.
Got to know where you're at.
Yeah, side just gets a hat down, and you come back in first to touch it. We always say first to touch it, but if a teammate touches it first and then you catch it, you're still ineligible. So.
Yep.
And then my last one here, 1st and 10, A88 is running that wheel route near the sideline, steps out of bounds, accidentally returns inbounds. And this is the case where a defender tips the ball, and then he catches. Then A88 catches it. Mm-hmm. Now A88 is eligible. We're all good, and first down.
Here we go.
Yep.
Okay, I got one more for you.
What you got?
A88, same thing. He's running this wheel route.
Yeah.
And he steps out of bounds, like you said, unintentionally, yeah. accidentally,
yep.
and leaps for the pass.
Why he's out of bounds?
Yeah. His right foot touched, and he jumped out in the air, and he catches it. So what do we now? What do we got? I mean, he's out of bounds.
Topic, but he stepped. If he doesn't come back in, he hasn't reestablished.
So he's just. But
he's just an out of bounds player.
What I wanted to bring it all the way back to.
Yes.
Touching precedes.
Touching
everything.
Everything.
Yes. So the ball becomes dead.
Yes,
it's an incomplete pass
that is out of bounds, and we didn't cover that part of touching.
Right, but what I'm going to say is he is ineligible because he went out of bounds.
Well.
But he's not an inbounds player.
Right. He's still an out-of-bounds player.
Right.
Yes. And that's where it's going to be incomplete.
Because I wanted to say, well, he's ineligible and he touches it. Why isn't it a foul? Because you got to be an inbounds player.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. So that's
good
what
stuff.
I have. And I think that's what we have.
That's what we got.
So, yeah, we just wanted to cover touching. And so different types of touching. The rules change depending if it's a kick, pass, and then we just, even within passing, depending who touches the ball and where they touch it, the rules and enforcement changes.
It's in depth, man. You just have to, we got to look at it a lot.
So
that's a good talk.
Yeah, I hope so.
Back in it, man.
Yeah, back in it. So
that was fun.
Tyler, as always, thank
you. Dwayne, thank you.
Yeah.
And we're going to get together again soon, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Have a good night.